Here we are in the Congressional Corner with our friend Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. Been around in Congress since 2009, and before that in the state legislature. In both places, he is known as the champion of the environment. So, Paul Tonko, where are we with the climate bill?
Well, yeah, there have been many, many efforts made towards addressing climate, and I appreciate that. I think it's something that's getting more and more attention. We understand just by Mother Nature, just by the severity of storms and the swings of very drastic weather out there, people are becoming believers. It's no longer about polar bears, which we adore and support. But when you have record flooding of the Mississippi, when you have great floods in Nebraska and wildfires in the Southwest, people begin to see it as a backyard issue. And so now we have been growing support for what I believe is science-based, evidence-based solutions. While I've served on the subcommittee on environment and climate change, it has just been recently in this last session of Congress that I received the chairmanship. Before that, I was serving as ranker. But through that course of time, we were reaching out to stakeholders through various efforts, various perspectives, from the labor community to the environmental community to the business, industrial community, to local governments, state governments, just wanting to hear what everybody was thinking, what their concerns were, what their solutions were. As we've been gathering all that information, we utilized that first set of discussions to create our framework of principles, nine in number, which we unveiled last spring in Baltimore at the National Conference of Climate Change. And those principles received great review and great support. They included environmental justice communities, where communities, neighborhoods that have been rolled over, so to speak, by the forces of supplying energy to our communities, will now be part of the discussion and get favorable treatment. So we just recently unveiled a framework, again, a skeletal for our Clean Future Act, which has as a banner year 2050. So no later than 2050, we want to reach 100% clean, net zero carbon emission. We believe it should be economy-wide, so that it ranges from agriculture to manufacturing to transportation to the generation in industry, to the energy industry. By so doing, we will work to have a comprehensive plan for carbon pollution reduction and hopefully begin to address some pieces of that puzzle while President Trump is in office, and then have our overall comprehensive plan addressed when there is a believer in the concept of carbon change in the White House.
So is there any chance the Senate will go along with any of your plans?
I think that, you know, we've been speaking to senators on both sides of the fence. For instance, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska has a great role to play in energy and environment. She was kind enough to offer us a great bit of time. We sat down and discussed where we're at. I recently had a short conversation with her, and I think they're trying to work up their schematics on reform. But I think I challenge people because we're looking at this from a science-based effort. I don't want to just do pie in the sky that doesn't work. We want to make certain that we have those fundamentals down, where we've spoken to the science community, where we have a rightful expectation to achieve those goals, and we want to achieve them by 2050. It has a heavy reliance on renewables. It looks at the agriculture community, for instance, and we look at ways to decarbonize through agriculture, through various surface crops that we can do to return carbon into the soil. We've been speaking to the forestry industry, and they're very much involved with us in decarbonization. We're looking at the transportation sector and looking at charging stations as we electrify the transportation vehicles, not only cars, but heavy vehicles and various mass transportation opportunities, even looking at how we can decarbonize with the airline industry. And then with the generation of electricity, looking at a reliance on renewables, energy efficiency, anything that can reduce that footprint of carbon so that we're not disrupting Mother Nature. There are many, many young people, millennials and younger, who say to me, you know, we've got to fix this. People are concerned about the future of our planet.
So considering everything you've just told us, are you any closer, you've been somewhat hesitant, to endorse somebody for the Democratic nomination?
I'm listening to what they're all saying about climate change. You know, these debates are wonderful, but you don't get into the detail. And as we do that, as we narrow the field, it's easier to review those candidates and find one that best responds to climate change and will grow our economy. I think that I'm a firm believer that the Democrats have to bring a new resident to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for the sake of our nation. I've watched what I consider deplorable behavior by this president, a lack of respect and regard for the Constitution, and a lack of public policy, which we need desperately in a complex world.
So do you have a favorite?
No, I think there's a really strong field. There are several that I could support. And
anybody
again,
you couldn't?
Not really, but I think, you know, there are different strengths that each of these candidates brings. You know, obviously we need to address economic inequality. I believe, you know, you see in people like Elizabeth Warren that there's this plan on how to bring about fairness. There's the foreign affairs issues. We have wrecked our image around the world. I look at the strength that Joe Biden brings to that opportunity to dialogue with the other nations of the world and bring back our image. I look at the potential for the new generation that everybody talks about, and Mayor Pete excites the millennials. So our party has an awesome challenge, but a heavy weight on its shoulders to produce a winning candidate for the sake of this country.
I only have a minute, but is Trump a guy who could really subvert the Constitution?
I would hope not. But you know what concerns me most and perhaps angers me is that he's reducing the presidency. Some of these behavioral outcomes where you walk away from subpoena power, where you disregard sending over documents, where truth doesn't matter, where you can change your story and it's proven by B-roll time and time again, that's a very troubling thing. And when you hear people traveling to the states and telling you, asking you what's happened to the U.S., when you get tours with members of parliament here in the district so that you can share with them in a partnership, and the first thing they ask, what's happened to the U.S., that's troublesome. You know, you don't always agree with your president. You may vastly disagree if it's a president of the other party, but I never really thought that the integrity wasn't there. This is a strong concern.
Paul Tonko is Democrat of New York's 20th District. He's been in office since 2009. He's a friend of this radio station, and we so appreciate your showing up and being with us, Paul. Thanks again.
I appreciate the opportunity.